You've been trying so hard to move forward. It can be tough just to keep going, with self-doubt and fear at your back, blocking you again and again. But now, the tides have turned. It's your time to rise up, stand tall, and unleash your magnificent potential. Welcome to It's Her Turn with me, Dr. Kate Dow. Have you ever wondered what happens to those people who get told that doing what you really love as a career will never, ever work? Welcome to another episode of It's Her Turn. I'm your host, Dr. Kate Dow, and I'm here with Pi Luna, who's my guest today, and she's been on a journey of this self-discovery to find her courage to be authentic and challenge those messages against all the odds. Pi went to school for a BA at Prescott College and an MFA at Goddard College, where she studied the integration of art, math, and Jungian psychology. She loves learning about the archetypes as reflections of people's unconscious emotions and seeing how they surface as symbols in our dreams, which ultimately led to her using this as a primary focus of her life work. Welcome, Pi.
Hello, welcome. Thank you.
I'm so glad you're here. And let's just jump on in to really talk about the defining challenges you faced in regards to this message of you can't do what you really love.
Yeah, I think it created the sort of split in me. So there's who I am and who I'm supposed to be. And you know, from an early age, I created this sort of split personality almost, like, you know, and one half of my life I was an artist and the other half I was doing what people wanted me to do. And I was never really a whole person. And, you know, in my 20s, I could kind of make it work. I was going to art school half time. So I was you know, making art, but then I was also working, and I got a job at the Santa Fe Community College tutoring math, and then that turned into a teaching position. And so I was doing two totally different things with my life. I would talk about a split. So highly, highly creative, and then, you know, math and formulas. And yeah.
So was that the toughest time then, when you were just like having to live your day life doing the math teaching and sort of on the side doing what you loved?
It wasn't too bad then. That wasn't my hardest time. There's at least some balance. It got hard for me after I graduated from school. And all of a sudden I have student loans and I, you know, I don't have all the support I used to have, and I absolutely needed to earn a living. And all of the messages of, you can't do that with your art. You know, even though I was actually selling art, you know, I would post things on Facebook and sell paintings. Somehow it didn't count because the message was, you can't build a career off of it. So I didn't even think of it as an option. And instead, took on like full-time teaching hours and was just doing math teaching and tutoring. And you'd think you could make artwork on the side, but honestly, when you're working full-time hours, you just don't have the energy.
Definitely.
I was just depleted.
Definitely. You know, it's taking everything to do this work that isn't doing what you love, which that alone is exhausting.
Yeah. And that was a really hard time in my life. I was not myself. I was very depressed. And eventually, I mean, it led into an actual breakdown where I had to come face to face with who I am and, you know, how on earth I was going to bring creativity back into my life, because I am healthy when I make art. And when I don't make art, I'm not healthy. And if I was going to function in this world, I need to have creativity.
I hear that. I mean, I think that's true for a lot of us with things that we love. It's not just, this is something I do. This is part of who I am and how I experience myself and my life, and actually maybe even digest it. Is
Is it like right. that for you?
Yeah, it's like I'm not the same person. It's I don't know how to describe it, but I'm not healthy. You know, for hobbies, hobby for me is like hiking. I like hiking, you know, but I don't need to do it to be happy. But art, I have to right. in order to function as a human being.
Yeah, to be you. And that's yeah. why it's such a deep part of you. It's not just a hobby. It's who you are.
Right. And so to not have time for that is pretty hard.
So how did you handle the like kind of breakdown that you're talking about? How did you come through that?
Well, it definitely made me realize that I have to have creativity in my life. Like I can't just be what people want me to be. I have to find a way. And so it kind of created some strength in me. And I still didn't know how to be an artist full time, but instead I kind of created a compromise or a middle path. And I started bringing art into the classroom. And we used like painting to learn about fractions and cooking to learn about different things. And I tried to make learning math more fun by bringing creativity in.
It sounds more fun.
It was. Yeah. It definitely improved the experience for, you know, myself and the students. And that led to actually making like booklets for them. And then it led to the college asking me to write a business math textbook. And the irony of this is that, you know, life gives you what you need to learn. And I was asked to write this book about money, you know, personal finance, business finance. And, you know, I hated money. I hated it so much. Like, I thought it was the worst thing in the world because it was the only reason why I wasn't an artist. It was the only reason why I couldn't be myself. It was like my arch enemy.
Got it. So all those messages of you don't get to do what you love then became very focused on money being like the evil thing.
Yeah. It was the only reason. If money wasn't a factor, I would just be an artist. Like,
got it. I see.
So, you know, instead of like avoiding the topic of money, life is like, nope, you're actually going to write a textbook about it.
How funny. And how was that?
It was fun. I enjoyed the process. You know, I actually hand illustrated a lot of things in it. So it was a little artistic. But it ended up leading me to opening my own business. And that's kind of the cool part of it is that I became an entrepreneur because of that book and ended up teaching workshops on finance.
Wow.
And ultimately teaching artists. And then working individually with artists, and I became a coach. And, you know, I learned that they don't just need help with money. They need help with marketing and web design and a whole bunch of other tasks. So it became this really kind of fun project for me of whatever clients needed, I would go learn. And I would either take online tutorials or I'd read books or whatever I could get my hands on, I would learn it. And then I would help my clients. And it was such a genius move on life to have this time because I learned what it's like to run a business as an artist. Even though I wasn't an artist, you know, I was still doing something else, not my art. But it was a time of learning.
And it was a little closer. Right?
It was a little closer.
You were yeah. moving towards the goal, and now you were actually teaching people how to do what you wanted to do.
Yep.
I love it.
As they say, you teach what you need to learn.
Exactly.
And then slowly art came back. I, you know, would have like one day a week that I would make art. But it really wasn't enough, you know, with art. I feel like I go into like some deep spaces and I need more than a day mm-hmm. to really do it right. Mm-hmm. So it was a huge conflict for me, you know, taking care of all of these people and then trying to take care of myself and my own art. And I really couldn't do both, even though I really tried. And then COVID came, and that was sort of the catalyst of the whole thing.
There you go. COVID's been such a catalyst for so many people. I love
so
hearing that.
So intense.
Yep.
And it's not been an easy year for anybody. And, you know, what happened to me personally is that I got really scared. You know, I saw business owners losing their businesses. I saw a lot of just really scary things. And I went into sort of a survival mode, and I stopped doing art completely. And I, you know, because art doesn't make money, right? That was my conditioning.
Right.
So I was like, totally shut that down and just focus completely on clients. And I just took in everything that I could possibly get. And, you know, it was not sustainable. I was not taking care of myself. I was just go, go, go. And it was not myself because I wasn't making art.
Yeah. What happened?
I had another breakdown. Okay. In the middle of COVID, and it was a blessing because it got me to realize that, you know, I need to choose. Like, I can't do both. And to be an artist requires to be full time. Like, I have to have enough time to make the art, and I have to have enough time to run the business around it.
Mm-hmm.
And to be a coaching business, you really need to be full time for that, to be present for your clients and be able to provide good service. And I can't do that part time very well either. And so I had that split, you know, about yeah. I've always had that split. And I decided, you know what, I'm going to be 100% myself. I'm going to be 100% an artist. And I made that switch, you know, during COVID.
Wow. So yeah, what did that take? That was some tremendous courage.
Yeah. It felt a little like jumping off a cliff.
Just a little bit.
A little bit. It was terrifying. Something about the whole COVID experience was just terrifying. Like, everything was terrifying. So I was like, well, why not?
Right. You know? What do you have to lose when everything right? is terrifying?
Mm-hmm. It definitely it was helpful. I think it would have been harder if everything around me was perfect, and then I would have been afraid of losing something. But it was just, I don't know. I just went for it.
Yeah. What happened?
So I, you know, the beginning, I was sort of in this kind of go for it stage, and I just marketed like crazy. And it worked, you know, with holidays and stuff. I made it work. It was really cool. It was one of the most amazing experiences, because my whole life I've been, you know, told and that you can't make money at art. And I did. I did it.
You did.
And that was huge. And then after the holidays, now I'm starting to go into a little bit more of like in-depth, you know, more subtlety about the conditioning that I've had, and I'm working through it. But I'm also working on building a sustainable business and moving forward.
So it was like that crisis externally that then gave you permission to say, well, I've got nothing to lose. Let's just go for what I really want.
Right.
And that was doing your art and really running your own business, doing mm-hmm. your art for the first time in that particular way.
Right.
Okay. Well, so what resources helped you that along the way with that, you know?
I'd say there was kind of two different types of resources that were helpful. One was a really practical, in that I got mentoring and I got some good coaching.
Business coaching mentoring?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Some different organizations and nonprofits that provide teaching and resources. So that was enormously helpful. You know, if anybody wants to go into business, I really recommend, you know, finding the resources that are in your community. And then I also, when I was very early on, when I was writing that money textbook, I did DBT, which is a form of therapy that is like a whole bunch of practical skills on how to work with your emotions and your mind and interpersonal relationships. And I found that that training program really helped me be able to move through these challenging choices and be able to be an entrepreneur. And kind of you have to be able to face your fears and, you know, do things that are uncomfortable. And
that's true.
That program was helpful.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, anything that helps us really work with our inner self and how we think, feel, show up, communicate can be so powerful. But something structured like that often, especially if you do have anxiety or PTSD or, you know, extreme experiences of depression, can be so powerful to give us those tools, like you're saying, so that we know we can navigate our way through. And I think every human being really would benefit from some kind of counseling or DBT. But when you're a sensitive, I think, which I'm calling you that. I don't know if you consider yourself a sensitive.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. You know, but I think that it's even more so helpful if, like, you have sort of that sensitive, empathic, introverted nature. It can be really challenging to not only deal with our inner world, but then how do we navigate out there? And mm-hmm. as a human being, we have to do that, but especially as an entrepreneur, because mm-hmm. that's like human being on steroids, where you really have to interact with people and technology and marketing and all those pieces, especially a solopreneur. So that was such a strength of a foundation, it sounds like, for you.
Definitely. Yes. It's entrepreneurship is, you know, it's a sometimes I've heard of it as a spiritual practice. It brings everything up for you.
Definitely. I can relate to that. So Pai, what would you say to a woman who may be going through this right now? She's mm-hmm. an artist and she's feeling like it's her fault that she's not making things work. What would you say to her?
I would say a couple things. One is surround yourself with people who are going to encourage you. Whether it's mentors or a community, having supportive people makes a huge difference. You don't have to do this alone. And then I would say you can do it. Like, you know, whatever it is you're stuck with, whether it be technology or it's marketing or wherever the places are that are really challenging, I would say, instead of avoiding those, like, be in the discomfort of it and lean into that, lean into the fear or the vulnerability and just keep going. Because if you can do that, you'll break through.
I love that one, because, you know, that's a spiritual practice that I learned in, you know, Tibetan Buddhism is, you know, life is difficult, and yet we're taught to be like, as soon as that's uncomfortable, you know, mm-hmm. go do something else. Go, right. Go, you know, watch TV, go buy something, go eat something, go drink something. And we're not taught to lean into the discomfort and know that we can come through the other side more empowered, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I love that one.
Yeah. And I mean, if somebody who hated money with a passion can write a book about it and teach it, you know, the other thing is you can learn anything. So, you know, these ideas of, oh, I'm not good at it. Well, you're maybe not good at it today, but you can actually learn it. whatever it is, you can learn. And you don't have to stay in that I'm not good at it forever.
That's a really valuable lesson. Because again, sometimes we can get messages like, oh, you know, you're so good at math, but you're horrible at English, and we just learn these messages maybe from early feedback based on our likes, and then we think, oh, that's it. I can never be good at English. I can't learn it. I can't evolve my relationship to how I express in myself in story or writing. You're right. Like, we're human beings. Like, if we really want to, we can learn pretty much anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's empowering too.
It definitely is. So what did you learn most, do you think, in this journey of believing that you couldn't be an artist and make a living at it to coming through so much? What would you say are one of the main lessons that you really experienced?
I think there's, you know, these ideas of you can't be, you know, you can't be an artist. They come from a sort of a generalization or like almost a stereotype. They're not specific to you as an individual. They're just sort of these general things. Oh, art doesn't sell, or books don't sell, or music doesn't sell, or whatever it is. It's like it has nothing to do with the specific individual. So what I've learned is to bring it into the specific and to be like, well, actually, art does sell. Let me look at people who sell art and then let's think about what they do.
Right.
And when we bring it into the practical, in the grounded, anything's possible, really. I mean, if you want it and you're willing to do the work and you're willing to learn and you're willing to stick with it, you can make it happen.
Plus, you had to be willing to trust the unknown.
Yes.
You had to say, if I'm not going to believe that story, can I be open to this possible story that I'm not sure about? I haven't fully experienced myself, but I'm going to be willing to just say, let's believe it could be possible.
Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah. I mean, for the unknown, you're looking at like tangible things. So it's like, okay, I believe I could sell work, but nothing's selling now. So, you know, there's this definite element of like faith or trust. But I like to look at it as, well, what are the daily things that I could do that would increase my odds of that happening?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then just focus on those. I absolutely have control over the fact whether I post on Facebook today or not.
That's true.
I absolutely have control whether I'm going to set my website up or not. I don't have control necessarily in like how many people are going to buy my stuff. But doing these things will increase the odds of it.
Good point. Yeah, we got to show up. People can't see us if we don't show up.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah. And it's an ongoing journey. But for you to challenge this lifelong message has to be amazing to have said, I did actually do that. I just walked through the holidays and I slayed it and sold art and made a living.
It's a powerful healing, you know, and there's more layers. I'm not done. Not at all.
Right.
But it's a moment of like, okay, this is possible. Okay, I can do this. And also, I mean, I'm not just doing it for me. Like, I care about other artists. I care about the clients that I used to have. I care about the whole community. And I feel like when one artist does well, we open the door for others and we show, hey, it's possible. And we can start to change the cultural belief.
Absolutely. I love that you said that, because that was kind of my next question, is like, what's most meaningful and purposeful about it is, you know, that you're not only doing this for you, but you're modeling for others. I know you have a meetup group for creatives, and so you're constantly still around them and holding this community supportive space for them. So that's a beautiful way that you get to keep growing with them and mm-hmm. changing this message.
Yes, it's like a movement.
It's a movement.
Yes.
and gosh knows, we need the art community to be more empowered and supported financially, emotionally, and spiritually, because it's such an important part of our culture mm-hmm. as how we express and how we feel inspired by people's art. And it's always been an important part of the culture. So I think more now than ever, as a feminine wisdom, you know, coach, like, to me, it's a big part of us really, really claiming that feminine wisdom is to support and honor the artists in our lives.
Absolutely. And art is a way to process. Like, I've talked about my journey of becoming an artist, but there's also the art that I do. And so I use storytelling in my art. And I have, for example, a story of a herd of zebra who, instead of running away from a lion, run towards the lion and chase it. And because there's so many zebra, the lion has no choice but to leave. And so with stories and with painting, you know, we can actually work with the emotional elements, not just as an artist, but as myself working with that, but also, you know, people that are viewing the art, that, you know, art and story can help us process this very complicated world that we have right now. And I love how different every artist is and how different every creative person is, because we need that much diversity to adequately process.
I agree. And I mean, like, you know, we talked about that this is part of that, you know, your love of the Jungian archetypes and being able to work with emotion in your art and know that this is, you're representing this opportunity to chase the lion, chase the fear, and sort of drive it off your territory so that you can do your work. And it is an empowering message that we need to hear, and art is storytelling. I totally agree with you. Mm-hmm. Well, Pi, it's been lovely having you here today. And do you have any final words about resources or what this was, what meaning you're taking from this experience about sharing your journey?
Well, I'm very grateful to be here, and you know, whatever it is you're doing in your life, I wish you well, and just want to tell you that you can do it.
And Pi, where can people find you if they want to come and see your art?
So I have a website. It is pilunaart.com. You can also follow me on Facebook at pilunaart or Instagram at pilunaart.
Oh, fabulous. Thanks again. This was really, really lovely to hear your process and your experience. To my listeners, thank you so much for being here today. And I hope that you are taking away some wisdom and inspiration that encourages you on your leadership journey. Please subscribe, share, give us a review if you're so moved. And I'm your host, Dr. Kate Dow, and I'm reminding you to take your turn to find your voice. Own your truth, claim your power.